Hello, everyone, and welcome into CrushTheStreet.com. I am Kenneth Amadori, and I'm joined today with a very special guest to discuss the very volatile markets that we are seeing right now in the economy. Axel Merk is on the line with me. He's the President and Chief Investment Officer of Merk Investments, manager of Merk Funds, and someone who's a real authority in the investment space. He's a sought-after speaker and someone who... His opinion is very valued because of how he's been able to help so many people around the world with his analysis and obviously his company. So without any further ado, Axel, thanks for coming on Crush the Street with me today.
My pleasure.
Sir, I'm looking at the markets right now. We've had quite the volatile ride. One thing that I would say is very notable is, you know, through this volatility, we're actually starting to see gold perform. $1,500 gold is pretty exciting considering we haven't seen that. Now, these ups and downs in the stock market, we've kind of started to get used to. I mean, we saw this at the beginning of the year, and, you know, it seems like every couple months we deal with this, you know, volatile, you know, 1,000-point move, ups and downs, and then things seem to just kind of go right back on track. But you know, there's a lot said there. What are your current thoughts on the markets?
Well, sure. I mean, you tell me what the next tweet is going to be. I'll tell you how the market is going to be. The challenge is, of course, we are late in the economic cycle. I think most people agree on that. And then the question is how it's going to go. My baseline scenario, which is rapidly being torn apart here, had been that the president, like any president, would like to have a strong economy heading into the election, and with that, those trade tensions would abate. Well, guess what? It's not happening, at least not at this stage. And on top of that, we have a Federal Reserve that's pretty much caving into the president, and in every bad way you can think of that term. I'd like to remind people that you cannot fix a trade war with monetary policy. Instead, Chair Powell came out at the Fed meeting and said, we are watching political developments. Well, what the heck is that supposed to mean? And the reason that's relevant and relevant to the markets, including gold, is that the Federal Reserve gives the benchmark of the so-called risk-free asset. And if you don't know what that benchmark is going to be, well, everything is up in the air. Now, in the meantime, of course, what he did imply is that, yeah, he is cutting rates if trade tensions escalate, upon which within 24 hours, we had another tweet to have trade tensions escalate. And so Trump has Powell exactly where he wants him to be, that if trade tensions escalate, rates are going to go lower. And guess what? That means real interest rates are going lower, and lower real interest rates are historically good for gold. On top of that, of course, historically, a bear market in stocks is good for gold. There's one major exception. That's the early 80s. Where Mr. Volcker put real interest rates very, very high. And right now, at least the market, I don't think that's going to happen.
Wow. So do you believe that the Federal Reserve is at the right hand of Trump? You know, they're under his thumb, if you will, and at the mercy of what Trump tries to do or Trump's agenda behind the scenes? Is it something coming from him down?
They certainly don't want to be there. They certainly don't try to be there. The challenge is that the communication strategy, if you call it such, at the Fed has been bad to abysmal. And it started really a while ago with Bernanke with communicating more. And I certainly don't mind the Fed communicating a little bit, but to have, just give you an example, to have somebody at the Fed comment almost live on economic data. You have a bunch of folks at the Fed these days, or at least a few, that when major economic numbers are released, they're there on major television networks and comment on that. That just makes no sense at all. If you're a policymaker, you're supposed to kind of go back to your room and figure out what it means. I've been on TV commenting on these things. Well, you get the headline. You have no chance within 2 or 3 minutes to dive into what it really means. There are so many subcomponents. And so you're really just creating noise. And what you have is you have a bunch of folks, and then you had at the Fed this big project that, oh, Fed, the interest rates have been too low for too long. Well, is that a problem? If you think about whether it's a problem long enough, well, you'll figure out it is a problem. And so they haven't quite figured out what to do about it. And then, of course, yes, the main thing is that you could have a Federal Reserve that says, listen, guys, we don't get involved in politics. And that also means we're not going to get involved in a trade war. We'll just do what we're supposed to be doing, which means we'll look at the data. Now, obviously, that may mean they'll be, quote unquote, behind the curve. But now they go out on a hunch. Well, how do you plan and communicate a hunch, right? And that's just sets yourself up for trouble. And then, of course, we have a president who loves to have a punch bag, and the Federal Reserve is the perfect punch bag. I mean, we all love to beat up on the Fed. But when the president does it, the problem is, and let me just tell you why it's a problem. The best and cheapest monetary policy is one where a Fed official utters a few words and the markets move. That's cheaper than a rate cut. It's cheaper than quantitative easing and whatnot. And so when you now have somebody of influence torpedo that, and that includes somebody else at the Fed, but includes certainly the president, that means the word of the Fed is less effective. That means whatever the Fed needs to do, they need to do more of. And so it's in that context that interference from the president is bad. Now, this is regardless of what anybody thinks at the Fed, right? We got the Fed, we got to deal with it. So if you think if we have a Fed, having political interference is bad. And Powell hasn't quite figured out how the communication works. And so with that, we got a mess at our hand. And that's kind of the short answer here.
Axel, what are your thoughts then on the markets as they stand? Obviously, you're commenting on kind of where we are and things going forward. But what about the last 100 years? I mean, people can talk about what we've seen over the last 100 years, you know, and everything since the 2008 financial crisis. Are we at some sort of reckoning point, in your opinion, with how much buildup of manipulated monetary policy our economies have seen? And, you know, what do you expect going forward into 2019 and 2020 because of it?
Well, this time is different, right? The big challenge is, first of all, whenever we've had political interference at the Fed, it hasn't worked out. Whenever we've had political interference in other central banks, it hasn't worked out well. So if you want to have the 100-year context, that's one thing. The second one is that we are all pretty bad at forecasting. But what we can do is we can assess risks, right? And we're not the only ones. Anybody assesses risks. And so we are late in the economic cycle. We could put this into recession. There are different views on that. But because there's a risk of that, well, what do you do about it, right? And we've been hooked on a stock market that goes up and up and up and up, and anything else that you do is bad. Well, we mentioned gold earlier, gold and gold miners. With fairly little, you can add something that's not correlated to your portfolio. Gold in the long run has a very low to zero correlation to equities. And so that's one of the reasons why at this stage, investors are buying gold regardless of how this is going to work out. Now, that doesn't mean that if suddenly Trump and Xi get along and do a joint tweet, how happy a family they are, that gold couldn't come down, right? But because of that threat of being late of the economic cycle, because of that threat or opportunity, depending how you look at it, of interest rates coming lower, that's why some of that gold is doing fine. With regard to equity markets, as I indicated earlier, it's really tweet dependent. One way to look at it is if you strictly look at it from a business cycle point of view, and we published some chart books on that, actually, it doesn't look like, based on at least the quote-unquote data, that we're going to head into a recession right now. Now, obviously, there's plenty of chance. The one thing we keep forgetting is that the U.S. economy is far less dependent on trade than most other economies around the world. We are a fairly closed economy. And what I thought would happen is that Trump is going to switch his focus from China on French wine. You may recall that he doesn't like that the tax, the digital tax that the French introduced. And French wine is not going to derail the U.S. economy. But obviously, if we do raise consumption taxes on all Americans by having tariffs on Chinese imports, that may well derail the economy. So that is open. I don't know what's going to happen. What I can tell, though, is that any investor, they may want to look at this from a risk management point of view as well. How much risk can they stomach, right? I mean, the problem with getting out of the market is you're going to miss the next rally. And so you better have a long-term plan of where you want to be. If you haven't taken chips off the table, then just prudent rebalancing probably warrants that. And if you think this is not going to end well, then quite clearly you might want to take more stronger steps.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Axel, what about your thoughts on gold at the moment? We're seeing $1,500 gold. Gold has been one of those things that, you know, up until really this year, it's continuously disappointed people since 2011, 2012. You know, we went through that phase where it was just a correction. It wasn't, we're not in a bear market. Then it's at a bear market. And then we bottom out in December of 2015, of course, and nobody, you know, nobody knows if that was the bottom. In hindsight, it was. But then it shoots up to 1300, 1350, and then it just disappoints once again, you know, before everyone gets an opportunity to buy in. You know, the $1,500 gold is quite the breath of fresh air, considering what we've seen over the last number of years. So what are your thoughts on this? And, you know, how decisive and important is this move that gold is seeing to 1500?
Well, it's certainly noteworthy. And just had a chat before we got on the line internally, and we said, well, we're actually surprised gold isn't higher than it is right now based on what's happening. And we are not giving a recommendation here simply because we're not allowed to. but the reasons to buy gold is you're worried about a bear market in stocks. You're worried about increased volatility. Volatility in itself is a reason to buy gold because gold doesn't have a cash flow that gets discounted more like that of equities does. Central banks around the world, they don't know what to do. The Russians are buying gold. They're worried about buying too many dollars. The Chinese are buying more gold. And so that might be a reason. Then just cyclically, late in the cycle, gold historically behaves well. Now, gold historically, if you're old enough to remember, is notoriously volatile. And as you point out, this quote-unquote disappointment also translated to fairly low volatility in the price of gold. I think those days may well be over. Gold will again be more volatile, and that's good and bad, right? On the way up, it's good. On the way down, right, it's not going to be quite as good. I have been buying gold since the early 2000s. And for full disclosure, we have several gold-related products. So some people may say I'm touting here my own thing, but I try to keep things diversified in the sense that I when I go out of equities, yes, cash isn't a bad option for many people. And if you go to something like gold because you're concerned about the markets, just realize you're taking on significant risk there as well. But as far as where it's going to go from here, well, hey, my crystal ball is as good as anybody's. What I do see is that other central banks, as we talk around the world, are cutting interest rates further. We've started a cycle. Now, I mentioned earlier, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if President Trump would like to have a good economy running into election because he might want to get reelected. I do still see one scenario, which is that of a hot economy. Now, people may think I'm coming from a different planet saying this on a day as we're talking right now, but just think about it. If trade tensions do abate, we are at very low unemployment levels. We have a Federal Reserve that completely shrugs off the wage pressures we've seen. And granted, we've seen a little bit less pressures on the wages than we've seen in previous months. But my view is that if the only fallout we see in the US economy is a little bit less wage pressure and yet unemployment still being very low and even coming lower, it doesn't take much to push this economy on the edge on the other side, that we're actually getting too hot an economy. And that would mean inflation is going to be a real issue. In fact, I do think this thing about no inflation is the biggest complacency we have. You talked about the 100 years. Whenever we've been too complacent about something, it's become a problem. And what that means then, if that scenario is right, that is ultimately going to be good for gold, but it's not going to be a smooth ride because obviously as inflation does tick higher, there's going to be a thought, oh my God, maybe the Fed is going to do something. And by the way, just on a year-over-year comparison, economists call this the base effect, unless oil really plunges from here, which it of course could, headline inflation is going to be elevated at the end of this year. And so a lot of these headwinds we've had to inflation are turning into tailwinds. And so, yes, that may well also be good for gold, except, again, it's not going to be right be a straight line going forward from here.
Axel, I'm very curious to get your thoughts on cryptocurrency and Bitcoin in this environment. I mean, I'm checking today. Bitcoin is $12,000 to regain that. You know, it's been at the $10,000 mark for some time. I think it dropped down in this most recent correction below that. What are your thoughts on $12,000 Bitcoin? Did you think there's any long-term viability to it? Is this something that, you know, you could see going to $50,000, $100,000 with just a small move of managed money, starting to expose themselves to Bitcoin and some of the other top digital currencies? What are just some of your general thoughts on this?
Well, my general thoughts, you're not going to get. That's because I'm handcuffed. And I say that because I'm highly regulated by the CFTC, the SEC. And you may have noticed I'm active on social media, but one thing I don't comment on is Bitcoin. And the reason is that Bitcoin, I call Bitcoin a phenomenon more than a currency. As you may know, I'm very deeply involved in the currency space. And the risks involved in Bitcoin are so extreme that the regulators force us to provide so much disclosure that you're not going to find it fit into a tweet. Now, here I have a little bit more of an opportunity. But again, to me, the value on the crypto space is the distributed ledger. And there, Bitcoin is to me a bit like Netscape was or something like that. Something good come out of it. I actually get approached by folks all the time to talk about cryptocurrencies. I studied public key cryptography in the early 80s. And many people don't know I'm a computer scientist by training. And I get investors call, I get attorneys call to ask me about the technology, but I can't touch it simply because of how I'm regulated. And as such, unfortunately, I can't give an investment recommendation. I do not think, by the way, that some people compare it to gold quite a bit. I don't think that it's the same pair of shoes. I think it's very different. I think it's a speculative phenomenon. And I'll just leave it at that. So unfortunately, I can't give you a price target for Bitcoin.
That's no problem. All right. Well, Axel, you know, as we close out this interview, I want to thank you so much for your time here at Crush the Street. If people want to learn more about what you do with your firm, you know, what you founded, what drew you to wanting to help people protect their portfolios, I mean, just give us a little background of the company and, you know, what you guys do and how it was founded.
Sure. I founded Merck Investments in 1994. That dates me a little bit. We have done a lot of different things. Come to our website where we explain it a little bit more. I'm active on social media. Follow me on Twitter. Join me on LinkedIn, on Facebook, wherever it may want to be. We do several different things these days. We do publish research reports, chart books that try to take away the sensationalism on the business cycle, on the Fed, all kinds of things. We do have several investment products, including a few on gold and gold miners. Can't talk about them on this podcast. Come to our website to learn more about them. And then we do help certain groups as well, certain high net worth individuals and institutions as well, for institutional, non-traditional strategies to a significant extent, for some people also for more traditional strategies. We really focus on everything that's global and liquid. That means we can trade interest rates, currencies, precious metals, and also equities.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time and coming on Crush the Street with me today. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.